Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, six-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Every day we talk to Olin, it's like Christmas morning. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Olin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. A little Christmas morning in London yesterday when the Bears scoring all those points. So it was fun to watch Chicago Bears put up all those points yesterday after a little bit of a slow start, but they're right where a lot of people thought they would be. And now we're really interested on what they'll do next when they play the Washington Commanders. Almost can't wait through this bye week. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, I think that it's probably to their benefit to see if they can get the secondary back and healthy. And, you know, there were a lot of guys out. But I think, Olin, I was super impressed by the fact that they had a couple of defensive tackles that they've added to the team. You get a sack by Chris Williams. Byron Cowart gets a half sack. You saw an interception from a guy that doesn't play all the time. I felt like a lot of the people that they have been going to are playing pretty well too. They've done a pretty good job, and the general manager had said that it's going to be a hard football team to make. Well, some of the guys that didn't even make the team, some of the practice squatters are forced to play and playing pretty well.
Yeah, and if you go to the other side of the ball, just talking about stuff like that, Pryor mm-hmm. coming in at right guard and him playing well. So some of these guys who you didn't expect a lot from. And someone who had struggled right against the run, especially the two defensive tackles you mentioned, Robinson and Coward. It's good to see them make plays. And then guys like Elijah Hicks and Jones, right, coming up and played in the secondary. Yes. We're really worried about them going into the game. Now, look, watching the game this morning, you know, Davis drops the ball in the end zone. Evan Ingram fumbles, right? TJ Edwards, guys. I was thinking about why the game was so much fun to watch, right, besides Caleb Williams throwing the ball. But you think about Cole Kmet and all he did, right? The St. Viator product, and he scores a touchdown, and then he snaps the ball, and you come right out of the halftime, and another local guy, TJ Edwards, causes a fumble, right? And that's why that game was so fun yesterday to watch the Chicago Bears play that style of football, you know, get the takeaways that they want, score a lot of points, and like you're talking about, Mully, get contributions from guys maybe we didn't expect it from going into the season. So it was a good game to watch. They got a good contributions from a lot of people that you're watching. Okay, going into the game, can Elijah Hicks, can Jones, can he do the job? And when you watch the Jaguars' first drive, there's no way you couldn't have been worried about what you were worried about, right? You were worried. You're even more worried after the Jaguars' first drive and the way they controlled the ball and controlled the clock. And then, of course, the Jaguars are going to Jaguar and get all their penalties and back themselves up. So, but like you're saying, those guys did contribute yesterday. Chicago Bears played a good football game.
So when people ask you about the Bears at the bye, 4-2, and they look ahead at the schedule and they look back at what they've done up through six games, how do you advise them to balance the enthusiasm over what is a very promising start with the reality that the second half of the schedule things get a lot more serious, and these four victories have come against teams that aren't very good?
What we've been through, David, I heard you mention earlier, I think it's been 14 years since we beat the Seahawks at Soldier Field in 2011, right? So I was on the field. Anybody watching Twitch can see how old I am now. That's the last time the Bears won a playoff game. So I advise them to be excited. I advise them to be excited about this football team. Enjoy what they just did. Enjoy those three wins, and don't count the wins of the team they just beat, because I did that last night and it kind of ruined it for me. But be excited about a young quarterback playing good football, making throws like he did to Keenan Allen, making throws like he did to Cole Kmet, making throws to Rome Odunze, be excited about a young quarterback who looks like he's trying to play football the right way. We talked about last night on the post-game show. Guys, when a guy is trying to execute the freeze play, right, where you're trying to draw somebody off sides at the end of half on a fourth and short, and he's really into it, there's a guy I can buy into, man. There's a guy who really wants to worry about the details of the offense. So watching things like that as a former football player gets me excited about this young quarterback. We all know what those teams are. We all know what the record of the Rams, the Panthers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are. We all know how bad their defense is. But the Bears did handle the last two teams, and they put them away, and they beat them pretty badly. So excited to see this team against, like we're talking about, better football teams. Everybody's going to say the same thing, right? They're going to hear the same thing. Chicago Bears, are they real, right? And they have to go watch the film, and they have to figure out for themselves what was real that they saw and what wasn't real, what won't work. How can we get better off of a win? How can we concentrate on our details? You guys hear this from coaches, cliche, right? Details, fundamentals. How can we clean things up after a win? It's the best time to get better.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Olin, there is a statistic out there. Apparently, the NFL Football Operations website has a statistic. Teams that start 4-2 historically have a 67% chance to make the playoffs. Now, we've talked about it. We mentioned it this morning. You look at the record of their opponents. You look at the teams they played. You can only control what you can control. And they do appear to be getting better. And they do appear to be hopefully building confidence. And, you know, you never know in the league when somebody's going to be hit by an injury that is a debilitating one. Aiden Hutchinson goes down. That's almost like a clinical surgical injury that is really going to damage Detroit and their hopes. I don't know that means the Bears are going to beat them. I'm just saying, until you play someone, you don't know who you're really playing.
Yeah, you lose Aiden Hutchinson. That's a big loss. But we know the Lions. Where are you going to find your closer, right? Where are you going to find your pass rush when you lose a guy like Aiden Hutchinson? Look, we're waiting to hear about Kyler Gordon, right? And start a second half, and he grabbed that hamstring. And we're hoping he's okay because he's probably having what I thought was his best football game as a pro. The disguises that Coach Eberflus was using on those blitzes, it was impressive to watch. We talked about how would they stop the run going through this game? How would they load the box with Tyreek Stevenson and Brisker out? Man, Kyler Gordon came alive, did a great job on those blitzes, did a great job coming off the edge, did a great job coming in the B gap. It was fun to watch, and we hope he's okay. But like you're talking about, Mully, you never know who you're playing down the road, and that's why you can only win the games that you play. When's the last time we looked at the schedule and said, man, the Chicago Bears have three winnable games here, and then they won them, right? And they won them, and they won them convincingly. Like, they didn't just win these three games. And then we actually watched a quarterback spread the field, work the ball to his receivers. I remember the third down he threw to Keenan Allen, man, and he had like a on the touchdown, he had a syringe, and he was shooting into his arm. I mean, look, man, the guy has arm talent. He has all the things you saw on film. Obviously, the Chicago Bears using some college concepts to get him healthy out there on the field. We don't know who we're going to play. Just really interested, guys, to watch this team grow, get better. We all know what we're watching, right? We all know what we've been waiting for years here, especially a former center who played center for the Chicago Bears for 13 years. We know what we're waiting for. We know what we're watching. Can we get a little excited about a young quarterback who looks like he's capable of being the guy the Chicago Bears have never had? Yes, we are a little excited about it. What's real? What's not? Who's going to be injured? Who's not going to be injured? That's for us sports radio guys to talk about. I will say this. I've done one playoff game since I've done analyst work for about 10 years now. I'd like to do another one.
This segment with Olin Kreutz is sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. So, Olin, help us understand why DeAndre Swift has been more effective lately. I know that he gets going when you throw him a screen pass and he gets it kind of helps maybe unlock the running game. He gets going in space and those kinds of things. But as far as adjusting to his offensive line or maybe the offensive line adjusting to him. He has been more effective the last 3 weeks. What do you think is the biggest reason why?
Well, what you just said, I think that Coach Waldron, I think these guys are getting to know each other, right, David? Like, you know, this preseason right now, it's hard to figure your guys out, figure out what they're good at, what they're not good at. Credit Coach Waldron, his coaching staff, Coach Morgan, his run game coordinator, finding out what DeAndre Swift is good at. And then remember Coach Eberflus said, I brought him into my office and I told him, you got to press that ball downhill and we got to hit those holes. There was a run there early in the first two drives. I think it was the first drive. He ran and then he's like trying to make a guy miss that's not there, right? You got to get going moving forward. So some of those things kind of creep back into his game sometimes, but he's not doing as much of it. And then they give him swing passes, Mullen David, and then they give him screen passes. And that gets him going. I think that gets him lathered up. We talked about him after his big game against the Panthers. And we said, man, maybe he gets lathered up in a different way than most backs, right? Maybe it's a screen pass. Maybe it's a swing pass. Yesterday, when Caleb went to the no huddle and he got the line of scrimmage and he tossed right, I think he called it Icky Rover, right? Icky Rover, Rovers to the right. Us football players, you know, we're real smart. So we use R words and we go right, and we use L words when we go left. So they call it Icky Rover and it's tossed right. And that got him going a little bit, right? Darnell Wright and Cole Kmet, great double team, moving guys off the ball. Swift is, he was an interesting guy for me coming into the season because I thought, man, when I watched film, I thought he's talented, but maybe a little bit more of a scat back than an every down back. Well, these last 3 weeks, trying to prove me a little bit wrong that he can get the ball, he can run downhill, he's strong, he can get those extra yards like everybody else on this Bears team. He's made me interested in watching him against a better defense.
Olin, we talked a little bit on Saturday about the first 15 thing, and David did some dive into it and said, "Well, I'll let David tell you what the what happened and what they came away with."
Well, some concepts were called openers, and they always had openers, Olin. I don't think they had the specific 15 plays scripted out until the players approached Shane Waldron and said that they would prefer it to be that specific. And I think that they went into it not without a plan to have like the first 15 or 20 plays scripted, but they didn't call them necessarily the first 15. They referred to them as openers, and that they felt like they didn't want to give Caleb Williams too much too soon, which I think you could debate as well. Maybe he needed that. But anyway, until the players approached Shane Waldron, they didn't make those changes.
Yeah, and I credit Shane Waldron. I mean, I know you kind of figured when Stacey Dales came out with that report that they were doing something, right? And yeah, that's what you were worried about. Like, actually, they weren't doing anything. Then we really got a problem here. But they were doing something. They had openers. They didn't have them listed. The one thing you could do when you list them, and I've talked about this before, is now the players know what your game plan is. They're collecting information. And even though you start out as bad as you started out, everyone's talking about, okay, they're going to play this personnel, this formation like this, right? And the Chicago Bears, now they're on the sideline. They're talking about it. It's getting Caleb more involved in the game, more involved in a game plan. Oh, okay, now I know they're going to run this blitz or this front or this could happen against this team. So the openers really give you something to study. You know, I would get it on Friday. I would study it against different looks on the video. I would study it Saturday night. I would look over it again Sunday morning. So those plays were really important for me, which is why I didn't want to dive into it too much, but I was worried about it when I heard it. I thought, man, if they had nothing, that would have been crazy. But obviously they had some openers. Now they list them. Everybody's a little more comfortable with what they're doing right now. You can tell. And like we talked about with Swift, I think they're just getting to know each other a little bit better. I think they're all working together. The offense looks like they're moving in the right direction. You see what they're doing to get Caleb comfortable, right? You see, even yesterday I saw a center tackle counter when Caleb kept it and kept it around the right edge and gained some yards on like a quarterback read. And a center tackle counter, man, that really is a college concept. So adding in a few things that he's comfortable with and then go tempo offense, spread the field with those good wide receivers you got. Let him look at what the defense is presenting him. Let him get into plays that makes him comfortable. There's your first 15. Everybody's comfortable. Everybody knows what direction we're moving in now. For example, the one thing they changed yesterday on the first third down, remember they were struggling with the Jaguars pass rush, right? They had to set two sacks, I think, on the first third down.
Yeah.
They went away. They said, why the hell? The stadium is louder for us. Why the hell are we in silent count? Right? So they went to their cadence. They went away from silent count because the Jaguars are jumping. They had advantage on the Bears offensive line. And then I think to myself, man, what are they going to do against Washington, right, in a couple of weeks? Because you're going to have to use the silent count for two games in a row. So there's something right there immediately, something Chicago Bears, you got to get better at.
Yeah, I think that that's a great way of looking at it, too. The things they need to get better at in the bye week, Olin. I mean, this is – I know the players are off, but this is where the coaches should really be able to dig in and kind of – work and tweak some of these concepts so they can get things up and running, and they should look better after getting some rest, getting some health, and hopefully getting a new direction to some of the things that maybe isn't going brilliantly.
Mm-hmm. I can see Coach Washington studying all the games that they played and studying their run fits,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then make a cut up. And, you know, cut up, like you guys know, is 15 to 20 plays of what, how we did it well. You don't only want to show them what they did wrong. You also want to show them what they do well, right? It's okay, this is us doing it well. This is us not doing it right. I can think about yesterday and yesterday's game. Kyler Gordon came off the edge, and Taylor and him were in the same gap. I don't know who was right and who was wrong on a blitz, but you can't do stuff like that, right? And then there was also yesterday when they lined up wrong on this. I think it was the second drive. They lined up wrong and got a penalty, and they wanted to take a timeout, right? We got to get that corrected, right, on offense. What have we done well? What have we not done well? What do we need to work on? They've had some moving pieces there on the offensive line. You know, they can start to go over their silent count, right? Immediately, I'm thinking to myself, man, if I'm Coach Morgan, I'm putting together a cut-up of our silent count pass blocking and having my tackles get to their spot and really working on throwing a punch and not getting hit and not ducking my head. So there's a lot, like you're talking about, that they can work on, keep working on the developing the relationship between Keenan Allen. What do DJ Moore and Caleb Williams, what do they see together? What do they do well? Let's put more of those concepts into our offense. How can we hide it with motion and formation and keep this offense moving in the right direction? And like you're talking about, Mully, these kind of weeks, if you can organize them, it doesn't take a ton of work. If you can just really organize and pick out, okay, this is what we got to get better at. This is what's going to help us beat the good teams. This is what won't work when we're in Minnesota on the road against Flores and he's going blitz zero, right? Guys, this right here, what we did yesterday on the first two third downs, what we did yesterday on the first two third downs, we will be in a world of beep if we do this again in Minnesota and we show Coach Flores that we can't handle pressure.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
We're out of time, Olin, but real quickly, dumb question. Why aren't more centers backup long snappers because of the shotgun situation? No, I'm just
one. Olin doesn't long snap, man. Get that straight.
I heard you guys say about Cole Kmet's dad told him, right?
Yeah.
Cole Kmet. Now that anyway, we could rave about him after yesterday's game, right? Fun football player to watch. His dad told him that, you know, what else would you do? And I thought to myself, man, construction, right? If I got a long snap, I'll just be a construction worker. Not for me, David. Like, I just was never interested in long snapping, right? Like, people have told me that. I've heard that before, right? But, the more you can do, you better learn how to long snap. I said, look, if center doesn't work out, I'll be on the road, right? Painting the lines, laying the hot tar down, sweating, waiting for my beer on a Friday afternoon.
You'd be a great construction worker, but you'd be.
I would.
You would be.
I would have been great at drinking beers after and telling everybody how great I was in high school at football. And I would have made it if not for a certain injury, right? I always hear that. Holden, man, my career was derailed. David, why didn't you make it out of Ball State at cornerback? You had some injury, right?
Yeah. I had a bad, I was slow. I had a bad hammy.
No, exactly. No, you are not slow, man. And the way you can process information, I can see you coming downhill like Mike Brown, lining everybody up, getting to the ball. Except 19, whatever the year that was, 89, Fresno State was a tough game at the end of the year.
Oh, man,
sure.
You have a memory. Do you have a memory like an elephant? All right. I just wanted the shotgun snap being what it is, a little bit further back to the holder or to the punter. Yeah. Why more guys don't try?
Pat Manley. Pat Manley will make you think it's easy. Patrick Manley, not one of the best ever, right?
Yeah.
Credit Cole Kmet for learning that skill because it is not an easy thing to do. Credit him for honing it, keeping it so he can do it and helping his football team and being a team player. Because I will tell you, the answer to your question is very simple. The reason more guys don't do it is because it's not an easy thing to do.
Good answer.
And you know, Olin, Pat, they did not have to punt after that. So I wonder if the punting snap is different. And Pat said that the couple of the snaps were a little bit high. Cairo Santos said that he should be the special teams player of the week for filling in and doing that.
Yeah. Listen, you guys remember Pat used to snap the ball through a moving car and all those things that you should do. I mean, Pat was, these questions are for him. He was an extremely good long snapper. Just to answer your question, I maybe tried it once or twice, and I was like, man, if I don't make it playing offensive line, I have to find something else to do. And I wasn't going to be a doctor, and I wasn't going to be a lawyer, so you do the math.
Olin, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
That is Olin Cruz. That's hysterical. 312-644-6767. A lot of good stuff there. Olin always thinking the game in an excellent way, and a lot of possibilities for the Bears moving forward. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hawn, The Score.
You just became the first rookie quarterback for the Bears to score 4 passing touchdowns in a single game since 1999.
Yeah.
What do you credit with your early success?
Offensive line, coaching, progress, the leadership on this team. For me, the constant mindset of keep going. I think us getting out there and getting our momentum going, us getting out there and executing, us believing in each other is what you credit it to.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And that is the voice of the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams. Fun to have an actual British reporter asking him a question.
That was fun, yeah.
And you hear his response.
Answer was better.
And the answer is excellent. And the answer's him at the podium, worth the price of admission. The guy always says the right thing. I'm very impressed with whatever media training he's had, and I don't mean that negatively. I think he does a really good job of portraying himself as just one of the guys going along, doing a job. We don't talk enough about the way in which he has developed as a player. We talk about it a lot, but I think there's some good coaching going on with him. And I think that he's also, I think Olin said it very well there. I loved the he pointed that out, that he is at the line of scrimmage. You know, and if you remember, even in this program, Dustin was like obsessed with cadence and the fact that he hasn't really had to call plays and how is that going to work. He is there. He's trying to sell a thing, and they know that he's trying to get him to jump off sides. But you know what? He buys in completely.
Yeah.
And he steps up and he's pointing and he's now trying to sell it again. You got to respect the commitment of doing something like that when you are only trying to get them to jump and they're not going to.
Right. A couple things. I think when you talk about him at the podium, we've talked about the polish and the coaching and how he's responded. He's had some good media training. But I think the one thing that is natural, instinctive, and I don't think you can teach or coach, is that I hear humility a lot. And yesterday, the answer to that question, offensive line, coaching, progress, leadership on this team, that keeps him in a constant mindset. That's somebody who is just more humble than I think people expected.
Yes.
And that really has served him well, not only in fitting in with teammates, but understanding where he needs to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys who think they have all the answers sometimes don't improve at a rate that you want them to because they think they don't need to get better.
Right.
Caleb Williams has been his own harshest critic, and you hear it yesterday. He was more upset about the interception than he was happy about the 4 touchdowns. So I think that's the one thing. The other aspect of it is that when you look at the room he has to grow, you feel like he's going to make the strides necessary because he understands what his limitations still are, and he's not satisfied being where he is after six games. This is just the beginning. And what it feels like yesterday was it just you can feel hopeful about a 4-2 start because he's the difference in what you're used to watching with Bears teams. We have seen dominant defenses before.
Yes.
We've seen good special teams and a lot of the intangibles. What we haven't seen is a quarterback that you trust to lead and be the reason you win eventually. And that's what Caleb Williams looks like.
He does look like the real deal, and it's going to be fun to watch his development, and it's going to be fun to see him play against Jaden Daniels in his hometown, in Caleb Williams' hometown, where that game is. So that is a very interesting next opponent that the Bears will get into as we get ever closer to that game. But it's got to be a fun one for him, and it's got to be a fun one really for the National Football League. But we'll save that storyline until
yes,
we get closer.
One versus two, rookie of the year at stake. Jaden Daniels, I don't even say took a step back yesterday. They lost a game, but he played pretty well in defeat against the Ravens, a very good team, a very tough environment. But you got two young quarterbacks who are each coming into his own at their own rate, but faster than people probably expected.
Let's get to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Raul is in Michigan. Hey, Raul.
Hey, what's going on? Good day, Mike.
Yes, sir.
How's it going? I was not going to get carried away, and so I got permission from you guys, so I'm going to get carried away. Why not go 7-2 going into Green Bay? I think it might be home, but why not be 7-2? For the Green Bay game? And just real quick question as well. Does us being 4-2 change the schedule or the amount of wins you guys had for the Bears this year? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the phone call. The reason is once you start talking about being 7-2, you'll become 4-3 before you know it.
Yes.
That's why you don't talk about being 7-2. Even though you can look ahead, we all can do that. Three games ago, as Olin said, they're 1-2 and they got three winnable games. It's been rare where you've been able to say about the Bears they got three winnable games and they win them all.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right.
Try to balance the enthusiasm without falling into the trap that people fall into and counting these victories before they achieve them. I don't think that I've changed my 9-8 prediction. I don't think that I'm going to do that yet because the second half of the schedule is as difficult as the first part is soft.
Well, I mean, the reality is that the most difficult part of the second half is the games in the division.
Yes.
So the reality is, if you really want to be a playoff team, if you really want to make an impact, you must do so with the division games. And that's just the reality of every team in the NFL. The Bears happen to be in the best division in football. They happen to be in the one where everyone's got four wins, and you haven't seen that happen very often, if ever, in the NFL. And I think that that it's pretty impressive that they're in that division. We did not see Minnesota coming. I think we knew that Green Bay was going to be pretty good, and the quarterback looks like he's back, and it looks like Romeo Doubs is back.
Yeah, how
so
about
they,
that?
They look a little better they than they
good.
Were. They
Complete,
look great.
Without dysfunction.
And now Detroit, who a lot of people thought kind of was a Super Bowl contender one game away a year ago, they are out beating the hell out of Dallas. The kind of win that the Bears had back in 85 in their Super Bowl season against Dallas.
That was as convincing as
where
that.
Where the game's on TV,
dominant.
And you're sitting there and you can hear,
yeah.
No one's, there's no cheering at all. It's like quiet because their team's getting kicked. I don't know what to make about them now. I think that damages maybe their Super Bowl aspirations, the Aiden Hutchinson injury. That's a really bad injury for them to have.
Unfortunately for the league, Aiden Hutchinson going down is terrible news for the Lions.
It's
worse. And you wish the young man well in a full recovery. You wonder about it because it was so ugly and you just don't know how he will recover from a broken tibia. That's a difficult one. I do think that you're just watching that, you just realize the magnitude. That was the biggest story of the NFL weekend, Molly. I think everything that happened, and there was a lot that went on. Aiden Hutchinson going down for the Detroit Lions was the biggest headline of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because you have a Super Bowl contender now compromised. I do think it bears remembering, though, the Lions are as dominant as they have become because of their offense and because of Ben Johnson and Jared Goff and their double tandem at running back.
David Montgomery gets paid.
He got paid and he earned it yesterday. My goodness, has he become such a dominant running back. I don't know what to make yet of the Lions in terms of how far back they will step without Aiden Hutchinson, but I wouldn't rule them out. Teams can come together through something like this, and you wonder if they're going to be able to overcome this adversity and maybe use it as a rallying point.
All right, we're going to be right back with your calls, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
I think we're in a good spot. I really do. I think we got a lot of improvement to do. But for the first six games, I think we're in a good spot. And we have to get our minds and our bodies and everything right to go on to these next six games, starting with the first one.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Matt Eberflus, apparently breaking down the schedule in six-game increments, or just responding from... They're done with six. Now we get a break. Six more.
Well, when the schedule came out last April, everybody picked game by game. Mm-hmm. And I think even the most optimistic of Bears fans, maybe not the most optimistic of Bears fans, people who were grounded in reality but still had a little hope, looked at the schedule and said going into the bye week, which is a natural place to pause, you thought the Bears could be 4-2. And if they were, you could legitimize some of the hope that you had in the season. The credibility would be there. It wasn't just false hope, because had they lost Sunday, you'd have been like, all right, here we go again. So Bears, 3-3. They lose a game they should have won. They never can win three in a row. All those things would have been valid. Now the opposite is true. Now you believe they can compete and contend in the toughest division in football because they have a special quarterback and a great defense. Not a good defense, a great defense. 12th straight game now where they have held an opponent to 21 points or fewer. And this is a defense that has an elite player in Jalen Johnson, who is now number one in the NFL, according to the metrics in terms of having the lowest passer rating for any cornerback in the league against.
Mm-hmm.
Targeted only twice yesterday in 38 pass attempts. This is a good defense.
Yeah, the defense is excellent. I think John Hoke is a great coach. He was there years ago. They brought him back. I think he is doing a great job with the secondary. I think Eric Washington, who they brought in as a defensive coordinator, really seems to be doing a great job with the defensive line, with the pass rush.
You mentioned two guys earlier, and people probably were like, who's Mully talking about? Chris Williams and Byron Cowart.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
Think about those guys able to make contributions like that. Listen, they need to go to work on their run defense, and I'm sure they can do that this week. But I'm just saying, if you wanna look at some of the success this team is having, you have to also look at some of the coaching that's going on. And it's not just one person or one guy, but they're getting contributions from people, clearly. And those are just a couple of guys that we give a shout-out to.
In 1 year's time, the Bears coaching staff has gone from dysfunctional to difference-making.
That's fair. That's a fair thing to say. I think given how they're playing and given how things are going. Now, again, that's the NFL, and anyone will tell you NFL not for long. So it's one of these things where you look at a team, they start putting together three wins in a row, and we're going to jump on board and say, hey, that's great, regardless of who they're playing. You start losing games, you start stacking losses, and everybody's on board saying, who are you firing?
Different
How are you
story.
Going to get? That is life in the NFL, man.
Yep.
And 4-2 is pretty good after the first six. Even if they played one team, that looks like they may be a playoff team. Other than Houston, I don't know who they've played that you would say is, oh, they're
Colts are finding a way to win. I don't know how, but I don't have a lot of faith in that team either.
All right, we got to get to the phone lines. We got Kevin has waited patiently in St. Charles. Hey, Kevin.
Molly and Haw, good morning to you guys. How are you on this Bears Monday?
Doing well.
Bears.
Not Bears. So what was it, about 4 weeks ago when our offense was spiraling and I called in and I'm like, I'm getting nervous. I'm not panicking, but I'm getting nervous. And it's a weird place to be as a Bears fan. I think you guys can relate on seeing offensive dominance. And you guys brought up a good point, and I think Olin said it, where you gotta, it's the Bears rarely, or at least in the recent years, have taken care of the teams that they're supposed to, but they haven't only just taken care of them. They've blown these last two teams out. And I think that says a lot about this team, because as we all know in the NFL, like, it's hard to beat teams. It's even harder to blow them out. And that really, I think, is shaping an identity of this team. I'm loving where we're at. A couple questions I just have going in that I'd love to hear what you guys have to say is, last year, I don't remember the number, but Matt Eberflus, we lost a lot of like one score games down to a couple points. So he's shown this year, with the development of the offense under Shane Waldron and his consistency you guys just mentioned on defense, how to handle bad teams. But what'll be most interesting is when the good teams come a calling, when he's a little bit more feet to the fire, how is his team going to perform when it's against real good competitors? And we've built our confidence from these lower tiered teams. And I'm hoping that builds and holds their confidence as we go into that tough stretch you guys were talking about. It. Love this Monday. Bear down. Let's go.
All righty, Kevin.
Thanks for the phone call. Six of their losses last year were one-score losses, so it's a valid point. I think they're better in those situations this year. You have a lot of different factors in play. You have a defense that is a year better, and you have a quarterback in a passing game that is more dangerous.
I'm really going to be excited when you get to the division season, because then we'll know everything. And if they can have this kind of a run against that kind of opponent, they're going to, you know, listen, they've never beaten the Flower. They've got to get that taken care of. They can split, if not do well against the Vikings. Vikings look awful good. Ditto Detroit.
Yeah.
Ditto, same thing. I'm just
those
saying
are tough
these
ones,
are – It's a good group of teams, man. It's going to be difficult.
And then, as we heard from NFL football operations earlier in the show, NFL teams that start 4-2 have a 67% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah. So that's you got the math on your side right now.
Right now, you do.
See if it stays there. DJ Moore will join us next. We'll get a chance to find out how the flight home from London went, how he's feeling
this morning.
How the
whole trip was.
Yeah, got to know about the whole trip. He also, they had a look at him again. You know, I worry about him physically.
Shoulder.
Yeah, it looked like it. But we'll get a chance to talk to DJ. What's his plan? What's he going to do all week? It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Bears.
Not Bears.